Story time. Come along with me as I walk you through my first three home birth stories and how I plan to prep for my fourth birth set in late October. I've had a variety of experiences and learned new lessons each time. From a long, arduous back labor to a very quick and shocking fetal ejection reflex, to then the middle ground Goldilocks 12-hour labor, which was also my first water birth. You'll be sure to laugh alongside Dr. Leah and I as I go through this one. Let's go.
Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about.
And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
Today, we are going to talk about Dr. Morgan's birth stories. She has such an empowering and inspiring repertoire of knowledge and experiences around birth. And I think that you are sort of like the epitome of what we are going for when it comes to birthing children into this world. And I think it's important for you to share your story. And so why don't you take it away and kind of share your wisdom with us?
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. I do feel really lucky, mostly because of the way that my first one went, that I was able to be where I was, and I'll tell all of those details. And I do just want to say, I'm going to try to kind of go through these a little quickly because I could just talk about it forever and ever and ever. So I'm going to I'm not going to miss or skip out on any major details, but if it feels a little like quick, that's kind of what's going on. So with my first, with my son, I was 40 weeks the day of my due date. I woke up and I'd had no contractions, nothing going on up until that day. And I woke up and I had this very thin discharge running down my leg. And I was like, nice. What is that? Did my water break? And I had school that day. And okay, the other thing is that the day of his due date was the Friday before our finals week. And I was like, I'm a first time mom. I'm probably going to be late. I would love to get through finals. And then I knew I was taking that next quarter of school off because we were in our third year of medical school. And I didn't have any contractions. So anyways, I woke up, I'm like, is this my amniotic fluid? I don't know. Like, and then it kind of stopped. So I thought, whatever. I went to my labs. I told one of the teachers, the professors, she said, go grab some pH paper and we'll test it. So in the bathroom, because pH paper will show amniotic fluid as being very basic. So it turns like blue and green, and anything that's coming from the vagina or cervix, like, you know, just regular Joe Schmo discharge or fluid would be still acidic. And so it'd stay in that like red orange. And that's what it did. So it didn't turn, you know, blue. And I was like, okay, maybe it's just discharge. And it hadn't, like, it didn't continue as a stream. It sort of stopped and started, but there was a lot of it. And I was like, what's going on? Yeah. And so I actually happened to have an appointment that day with the OBGYN that I was seeing as co-care along with my home birth midwife. So I saw him, and actually I saw his midwife, who I honestly did not like very much. She sort of bullied me, and I could tell it was really obvious that she did not like my choice for having a home birth, which is so odd because he was a very natural birth supportive OB in San Diego. But she just was always rude to me. And I told her what was happening, and she also did not like the fact that I wasn't planning on getting antibiotics right away with my GBS positive status. So she did a speculum exam and goes, oh, there is fluid gushing out of your cervix. Your water definitely broke. And the way that the timing lined up, I hadn't eaten lunch yet. And that's an important detail because I was like wigging out. I was so stressed. And I was like, oh my gosh, no way is my water breaking. And I'm GBS positive and I want to have a home birth and I'm not having any contractions. And like, you know, that is a reality for some people. So I call my midwife in the parking lot crying after I leave that appointment. And she's like, okay, go eat lunch. And then decide if you want to figure out if this is amniotic fluid or not. You can go to the hospital and get something called a Fern test, which is where they take a little sample of the fluid, they let it dry on a slide, and they look at it under a microscope. And I think this is so cool. Amniotic fluid under the microscope looks like a fern. The way that it kind of crystallizes on the slide, it has this fern shape. Yes. Whereas discharge does not. It just looks like a smear. So I go to the hospital and they like start monitoring me, and I'm like, I'm not staying here, you know, like, but they were checking and they were like, you are having light contractions, which I had no, you know, perceptible feeling of. I was like, okay, but baby's heart rate was great. and they come back and the friend test was negative. So I was clear to go. I had to tell them up and down, like, I am not staying here. I'm not birthing here. I am birthing at home. And they were okay with it, but they were a little bit confused. Like, well, why are you here and what's happening? So anyway, I go home that night, nothing's happening at all. And I'm like, okay, we're totally fine. This is just discharge. It could be 2 more weeks, you know. My husband was going to a hockey game that night with one of his
friends. And how many weeks pregnant were you right at this time?
Exactly on my due date, 40 weeks.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah. And so I'm sitting on the birth ball, which I didn't really sit on often, but I was for that moment for some reason. And he's getting ready to go to this hockey game and it's like 7 p.m. and I have this weird tightening in my back, my low back. And it lasted like 30 seconds, you know, and I was like, oh, that's weird. And then 20 minutes later, it happens again. And I was like, Wes, I think I might be having contractions. And I'd been having, you know, Braxton Hicks all along, but those are painless. They're just tightening. So I was like, huh, this is really interesting. So he leaves. I was not thinking, you know, this is going to be fast. Although one of our friends from school did have like a 2-hour first birth and it was really intense, but I just didn't get that intuitive feeling. So they kind of continued every 20 minutes and they were always in my low back, which I wish I could, looking back, I could have kind of, I think I was just so excited. You know, your first birth, you're like, I'm having contractions, and you don't really think about any other details. And so I should have probably gone into like a mile circuit or done some cat cows or done something. And now, okay, having back labor doesn't always mean that the baby's posterior, but there is usually something going on a little bit funky with the way that the baby's positioned. And so I could have done something at some point, but I just didn't, which is so funny because I knew so much about birth, but I was like too excited and not thinking about it. So he comes home, whatever, we go to bed. I slept really great. And then I woke up at like 4 and was feeling that I was having like a, you know, a kind of crampy and low in my back contraction. And I was like, oh my God, they've continued. And then I lay there in bed and they were every 5 to 7 minutes. And I was like, this is labor. They were, you guys, in retrospect, they were like a 1 out of 10. But I just didn't know. And I was like, ooh, look at me. I'm rocking through these. Like, I'm breathing. It's fine. You know, you just don't know what it's going to get like. So I got, okay, this is another big mistake. And I will point out things that I think I did well and incorrectly throughout as well. First big mistake besides not maybe trying to get baby in a better position was getting out of bed at 4 a.m. Like, what in the world? It was not like I needed to. I just was so excited. So I called my mom because she was going to be getting on a flight from Boise and coming. And then my mother-in-law was going to be driving from Phoenix because both of them wanted to be there for the birth. And I didn't actually have a hired doula. The friend that I'm talking about who had the 2-hour birth from our school, she was sort of on standby. But because this was the weekend before our finals week, I really didn't want to have to use her and pull her away from her own studying because I got a pass. I was having a baby. Our professors were not going to be like, okay, you don't have to, you don't have to take your finals because you were helping at a birth. That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to have all these other different people here. And I had a birth photographer, our friend Brooke, who has, you know, photographed every single thing ever. And I love her so much. So anyways, got up and kind of got the birth space ready and got all excited. And then throughout that whole day, you know, the grandmas arrived shortly, like in the morning sometime. It took about five or six hours for both of them to get here. And my contractions were still every like 20 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. We went on a long walk to the coffee shop, which I feel like was maybe also a little bit unnecessary at that point because you think in your mind, let's go get it going. Let's go get it going.
But then you kind of exhaust yourself.
Yes, but like you can't really get it going, especially in early labor. Like, right. I don't know. I just, looking back, but whatever. It is what it is. Like, we just do the best we can in the moment. So we went on a walk and I remember telling the barista, because it was like a place that I went all the time. And I remember telling her, like, I'm in labor. She was like so excited for me. You know, she was a physical, or she was in PT school. And so she thought that was really rad. And so we walk back, we hang out. I remember we kind of like watched some movies and I felt a little bit like a watched pot, which I know you kind of felt at your birth as well. Mm-hmm. And it's tricky because people are there to support you and hold space for you, but it's like so much attention on you. Mm-hmm. And even if you know that that's what's happening, it is a little bit uncomfortable. Sort of, you're like, I'm sorry guys. Cause you feel like you need to be performative and you have no control.
It needs to happen and it's not happening. So you feel guilty.
Exactly.
I did. Maybe you don't feel guilty.
No, I did. I felt odd. And I kept trying to check myself like, stop feeling this way. But it's like, it was just there. It was a little bit there. And there's, you know, nobody was saying anything. Everybody was being very patient. And I, all the while I had let my midwife know. And she was just like, okay, keep chugging along, you know, whatever. And I would say at like 7, 8 p.m. So it had been 24 hours, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes here, since the first contraction I'd felt. But that wasn't like, you know, who knows? There was a very long, slow early labor aspect of this labor. But it was starting to become more painful and a little bit more regular, maybe between every like 7 minutes and 12 minutes, and then they'd be 15, and then they'd be 8, 9, 12. And the way I like to conceptualize early contractions is that it's sort of like one of those pendulum ball, like where there's the metal balls that are hanging off of the like fishing line all in a row, and they can go like clink, 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 clink. You know what I'm saying? And they go back and forth. But sometimes they get really disorganized and they're like ting, 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 ting. But then eventually at all times, they're, you know, eventually they will all kind of fall into this pattern. I feel like your body, when it's revving up and it's kind of learning and trying to figure out what to do, it's a little bit like that disorganized pendulum swing until it gets into that very, very...
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Routinized things.
You know, you love analogies.
You are the queen of analogies. So for you to give me a compliment is like really special.
It's great. Good job.
So it really, especially looking back, that's exactly what was happening. My body was like, we're getting ready, but don't get too excited. And I'm like eating and peeing and kind of like, what's going on? You know, oh, and this is like a little detail that I know didn't go that well at your birth. I'm so sorry. But I really enjoy, not like enjoy it, but I, the peace of mind that getting an enema during.
Oh, yeah. peace is not what I would put to describe the enema experience I had.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. I think you were a little bit, you were in like too fast of contractions when we did it for you. It was like a little too late, so I'm so sorry. So anyways, I hope you can't hear my laughing, screaming children in the back, or maybe you can, because you know what? This is reality. We have kids. Anyways, so I had my mom, because my mom's a nurse, and so I had her give me an enema, and it was like totally fine. I used to be really constipated as a kid, actually, so my mom's given me many enemas in my life. It was not weird. So she did that, and it cleared me out, because I did have this big mental block about pooping in the tub or pooping at any point in labor, which is so common, but I don't know. For some reason, I was like, I don't want to do that if I can prevent it in any way, so let's clear out the colon. So anyway, at some point, we had done that. It's getting to be evening, and I don't really remember exactly how it all went down, but by like 11 or 12 p.m., Saturday night. So remember, on Friday night was my first like contractions that, you know, were in my low back, whatever. And now we're 24 hours forward and now a little bit past. They were all like really getting to be a different level of intense and so bad in my back. My back was exploding. Like, and I remember they were every 4 minutes apart, somewhere around midnight. And I was like, I'm in transition. That's what I kept thinking. Like, because my body was shaking, my legs were shaking, and I just couldn't kind of like cope. I was like, I need to get in the tub. I want to get in the tub. But my midwife was really adamant that she didn't want me to get in too early because it can slow you down, which is true in your early labor phase. And so I was like, okay. She's like, you know, can you do different stuff? Whatever. She lived about half an hour away from me. So I tried to do some different stuff. And I think I called her back like half an hour later. I was like, no, I'm really in like a lot of pain. I either need you to get here and maybe check me because like something really is different. So she did. And then she ended up being there for like 15 hours, which is not what a midwife wants to do. But you know, it just is what it is sometimes. So she gets there around like midnight or one and checks me on 4 centimeters. Okay. Which I was happy about still. I was like, oh, okay. And then I get in the tub and everything slows down. And like it, my pain went down multiple orders of magnitude, which was wonderful for me because the pain in my back was in between contractions. It was never like ending. So I get in the tub and I started to get a little bit chatty. I was like, I pulled out of that kind of like maybe, oh, you know what I always like to say too, is I think one of the hardest parts of labor is the early labor to active labor transition sometime in there. And that's not transition, meaning like 8 to 10 centimeters. It's just like a flip sort of where you're really getting close to being and breaking through into this active labor contraction pattern that would make you be very kind of like flooded with those hormones in your mind. And I was not getting that yet. And it was really, really tricky. I think that that's a really hard part of people's labors. So anyway, I kind of like chilled out and I was talking and stuff. My midwife at one point in her very sweet way was like, you're being a little chatty for 4 a.m. I remember that. So now at some point we're at 4 a.m. kind of rocking and rolling. Okay. I'm dilating everything. Like it's getting, I'm doing all these moaning. I'm getting out of the tub because I get hot. I'm getting back in. The back labor is unrelenting. So then at some point she's like, all right, let's try to do some things to get this baby into a better position. I will never forget some of these poses. They were absolutely horrible. And so there's two student midwives along with my midwife, and the students were sort of acting as doulas in that way. And they were having me like stomp down the hallway in the midst of contractions, taking a really deep runner's lunge in the midst of a contraction. And then this one maneuver, which has a name and I can't remember what it is, but they placed a lot of pillows stacked up high on the edge of the bed. And then I leaned my lower back over those pillows. So my belly was like pointed up to the sky. And I had to take a couple contractions that way. And it was absolutely horrible. Like all of those kinds of things made the pain so much worse. And my midwife kept being like, you need to lean into where it's the most painful because that's what's doing the most work. And I do agree with that in a way, but I was just like, I can't. I was getting really tired too. So now we're on to Sunday and we're in the early morning phases and I'm probably like 8 or 9 centimeters. She did a cervical check at one point, and during the check at 9 centimeters, my water broke. So it may have been partially from her. I know she didn't do it on purpose, but it happened at some point in that check, which was fine. So I remember her saying, okay, you are GBS positive. We had a plan. Do you want to have antibiotics yet? And I was like, no, we'll see how long my water's broken for, but I'm 9 centimeters, like the baby's coming. I ended up being at 9 centimeters for like, I mean, it's hard to remember exactly, but anywhere from like 4 to 6 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Like stuck there. I had an anterior lip, which is just like a little section of your cervix that isn't really dilating the rest. It's unevenly dilating. And this is, again, because he was in the wrong position. I think that he might have been fully posterior most of it. And then he sort of halfway turned because when he came out, he didn't come out posterior or anterior. He was like oblique. So he was kind of halfway in between. And he was a bit asynclitic, so his head was off to the side. And it was just so hard and long. So back to that friend who was maybe going to be my doula, I had texted her when I started early labor contractions on Saturday morning. So I guess I waited till Saturday morning. I was like, hey, I'll just kind of keep you posted. And then I never text her again. So now it's Sunday, like mid-morning, like lunchtime. And she's thinking to herself, like, what is going on? Because nobody had reached out to her. So she just came over to my house. And actually, this was such a godsend because everyone was so tired. My mom, my mother-in-law, the student midwives, the midwife, Wes, like everyone was just like, it had been a long couple of nights. And I was doing okay. I never really wanted to transfer, but I remembered being like, I need to go to sleep like right now. And my midwife was like, you need to get this baby out. So then I was 10 centimeters. So actually, no, you know what ended up happening is she got me on the tub again and she put her hand inside of me and held my cervix back. And I pushed his head through the rest of my cervix with no sensation of pushing. It was like the hardest, weirdest thing. I felt like I did not understand where she wanted me to push, but I do feel like it was a necessary move in that time. Yes, the baby would have come out at some point, but I was reaching like exhaustion, you know, breaking point of exhaustion. So I was glad that she did that. So now I'm at 10. I'm on the bed again. I'm like, you know, kind of dying through contractions, just like trying to stay alive. My friend comes in and she sort of sees what's going on. And I really wasn't moving all that much during the contractions. Like I wasn't swaying my hips. I was kind of holding a stagnant pose because the back labor was just outrageous. And moving an inch during the contraction was just too much for me. So she's like, all right, come into the bathroom with me. I almost don't even know if I said hello to her. I don't think I even realized that she was there. I was gone. I was blasted off to some other place mentally. Mm-hmm. So she brings me in the bathroom. She makes me go pee. It took me a long time to pee. I couldn't. So she put some like peppermint oil, essential oil into the toilet, and that really helped. So I pee. And then she's like, okay, get back up. She has me stand back up. And then I do. And then she's like, okay, sit back down. So I sit back down and then she's like, stand up. So she's making me do squats and I had no clue. I did not think about it. I didn't realize anything. So she probably had me do like 10 squats and then boom, I have this huge contraction and he moves down like a lot. All of a sudden he is down, locked and loaded in the canal where I can feel pushing now. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, oh, you know? And so she did exactly what she needed to do. So I'm like, okay, I need to push now. Like I'm really feeling it. Where do we want to be? So because I had been in that position on the toilet and I guess I could have stayed there, but my bathroom was teeny, teeny, tiny. Like no one else could really be in there besides one other person. So, I got on the birthing stool. And I started to push, and I pushed for 3.5 hours, but he did come out.
Oh my gosh. This is such an intense birth.
Yeah, it was really wild. Like, I just remembered being like, this is I'm just in survival mode because you can't turn it off. Like, there's no way of ending it. You know, you just have to keep riding through it until it's done. And everything was fine. His heart was fine the entire time. No signs of infection. It was just the positioning. And he was 9 pounds, 3 ounces. So he was a big guy coming out, paving the path for my first birth. So I'm on the birthing stool and I'm pushing as hard as I can. And, his head starts to crown a little bit, and it's like a little bit crowning. And then I just went for it. And I remembered one of our other friends telling me about her birth one time. And she's like, I knew when I was crowning that I was going to tear wide open, and I didn't care. And I remember when she told me that story, I was like, what do you mean you didn't care? Like, of course you cared. And that exact moment happened to me with Gage. I was like, I know I'm going to tear, and I do not care. Get him out of me right now. So I just kept pushing. Like, instead of a slow crowning, I was like riding that one really strong, just kind of like that J breath, you know, the way your stomach is when you're pushing, like a poop out. And I just went for it. I sent it, and he came flying out, and we almost didn't even catch him. And now remember, I'm on a birth stool, so I'm like a foot and a half off the ground. But there was a student midwife and Wes that were kind of like right there, and one of my hands, but I wouldn't have caught him had they not been there. So every, you know, slippery little baby comes like shooting right out up on my chest. He immediately starts screaming. I all of a sudden like looked up in the room. I hadn't really looked around, you know, because you're just gone. My eyes were open, but I couldn't see anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I look, and there's like 15 people in the room. And I'm like, holy crap. You know, there's the midwife, the two student midwives, the photographer, my mom, my mother-in-law, Sarah, so our friend from school, Wes. It was just, it was like a whole crowd room full of people that I kind of hadn't like realized were all there. Anyways, and he starts crying immediately. I look at his face. The first thing I noticed was his adorable little nose, which he still has now. And I just could not believe it. And this is going to sound so stupid, but my whole pregnancy, I had a really hard time conceptualizing that there was like a baby in there. I knew that on a logical level. Right. But when he came out, I was just like, holy moly, you are a real baby. Like, you are a real person. And all of a sudden there was this new person in the room, and I was just like elated. I started kind of like laughing, and you know, Wes kept saying, oh my God, Moses, he's totally, because he calls me Moses, he's like, he's totally fine, he's absolutely fine, which I didn't realize that Wes was getting kind of nervous. Like, Wes just was like, this is taking so long, is everything okay? And you know, the midwives hadn't ever said anything that was wrong, and his heart rate was fine. But I think for both of us as first time parents, we were just like shocked by the whole entire scenario. Right. And then my placenta came out, and oh, he peed on me right away. My placenta came out with a big gush of blood behind it. And so they were kind of like, whoa, okay. And then they watched me, and it slowed to like a trickle. But there was like, so when his placenta came out, it's almost like there was a bit of a tear in it. It was a little bit like shaped, maybe a bit of it had torn, which was unusual. I don't know what happened there. His cord was very long, and it was all fine. I had 10 stitches though. So I was really, really swollen. My labia, like, I think the upright position of pushing on a birthing stool was, not ideal for 3 hours because I was so swollen from the gravity and the pressure. And so I really couldn't stretch even if I had wanted to and crowned slower. So anyway, they had to stitch me up, and honestly, my vaginal recovery was totally fine. It was the breastfeeding later on that was the hard part. But I think I've talked about that on our tongue tie and our mastitis podcast before. So that was Gage's birth. And I felt very empowered. Like the whole time I was just like, you guys, that was nuts. And I remembered thinking anytime that I saw other people and babies, I was like, I can't believe that all of these babies in the world are born. Like everyone has to go through something like that. Yeah, it was wild. So then fast forward 3 years to when my daughter was born. Savi was born almost on the exact same day. And actually, I started having contractions with her on Gage's birthday. And I was like, no, of all of the days in the week or the year, you cannot be born on his birthday. Like, we need a separate day here. So I started feeling a little crampy, I guess I should say, on his birthday on the 6th. She was born early into the morning on the 8th. But when I tell this story, I'm like, I say that it was like an hour and a half because these contractions that I had early on were so Gage's labor was like 15 hours of active labor. Savi's was about an hour and a half. And that's a really big difference. So I started feeling crampy on the 6th in the evening, like late evening, I was like, oh, weird. I hadn't felt any kind of like period crampy kind of sensations yet. And I was sitting on the floor playing with him. And then I remembered waking up all through the night and having like one out of 10 pain. But I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Something's happening. Woke up in the morning, lost my mucus plug. So with Gage's birth, I never saw a mucus plug. But yeah, like with your birth, you had like a really classic mucus plug loss. And that was kind of how it happened with her too. I woke up and I was like, what is this thing sliding out of me? I could feel it happening. Yeah. And I go to the bathroom and I look and I'm like, oh, there it is. Okay. And then I was continuing to have these contractions every 45 minutes all day long, and they never got closer together for a very long time at least. And they were so light, but I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I would walk through them. I would talk through them. I was eating through them. I wasn't stopping or pausing or anything, but I was like, oh, okay. They are happening. I told my midwife, I had a different midwife at that time because my first one was busy at a birth in another state. So this midwife was a much higher energy and was like, nope, just wish it away. You're a second time mom. Like, you're not in labor until you're really, really in labor, because it's super common to have prodromal labor, which means where you have these contractions for like days and days or maybe even weeks, and they never amount to anything until, you know, true labor kicks in. So I was like, oh man, okay. Now I will tell you, that was the day of my due date. No, I was 39 and six. So she was born on her due date. Gage was born at 40 plus two. Yeah. So it was the day before my due date that I'm having these contractions all day long, very light. I took him to school. I went to the grocery store. I did all this different stuff. At like 5 p.m., Wes had made me this chiropractic appointment with his sort of like witch doctor chiro in Leucadia.
I love that. That's such a casual thing to say.
Gosh, what's his name? You know who I'm talking about. He's a naturopathic doctor and a chiropractor.
Frieder.
Yes, Frieder. Yes. So I had an appointment with Frieder and I hadn't met him yet, but Wes loved him. Yeah. Well, I had met him at like another conference when we were students earlier, but anyway, and he gave me some like homeopathics, and I was having contractions during that appointment about every like 15 minutes at that point. And slightly more intense, but still like, I'm like, this could just go on forever. Or maybe this could peter out. I really wasn't thinking that I was in true labor yet, especially because my midwife had really pumped it up in my brain, like, you're not in labor yet. So anyway, then he gives me a B vitamin shot and some homeopathics. And during the appointment, something shifted where when I would have one and he was trying to talk to me, I couldn't hear him anymore. Like all of a sudden, all my focus was going inside and I'd be like, hold on. And I would just handle it, take it. It's like 30 to 45 seconds. And then I was like, okay, what did you say? Sorry, I couldn't hear you. And that was unique. I remembered noticing that. We drive home. And again, every 10 minutes now, and that continued for hours. We put Gage down to sleep. I'm like, Wes, maybe you should just go to sleep. I'm starting to get a little discouraged because I'm like, I don't want to have another long labor and be exhausted again. That was so hard. I don't want to do that again. Like here, I'm not going to sleep all night long. It's like 11:30. Now it's midnight. And then at midnight, so Wes is asleep in the other room. I'm sitting on the birth ball. And then it became really uncomfortable for me to sit on the ball. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I have to stand up. I was like, that's so weird. I'm just tired. I want to go to sleep. And I always get this very like deep sleepy rush of sleep. I've noticed now in my last two births, right before things kick up. And so I like kind of laid down. And then when I had a contraction, I had to like shake my leg during it and like kind of get up on all fours because it was getting more intense. I was like, oh man. So then I go into my son's room. This is so cheesy, but it just is the way that it is. I go in his room. I kiss him. He's sleeping. I kiss him. I turn around and walk out. I have a contraction in the hallway. I take a couple more steps towards my bedroom and I have a contraction again. And then I'm like, whoa, I maybe walked halfway across my room again and I have another contraction. They were every like minute, 1 to 2 minutes, all of a sudden out of nowhere and so much more intense. I think all day long I had been building and dilating to like a 6, maybe even a 7. And all of a sudden I'm in almost transition and completely lucid, like meaning I had no labor hormones. I was just myself. Like I'm here talking to you right now, but having these 9 out of 10 contractions and I was freaking out. So I call Wes or I wake up Wes. I'm like, something is happening. We need to call the midwives. So we do, we call her. She's like, gonna send the student over. We're like, okay, should we call Brooke, the birth photographer? But Brooke had been there for like 15 hours for the first birth, and I really didn't want to do that to her again. And it was her birthday. Her birthday is December 7th, and this is December 7th. And I was like, I can't do this to her again and take away, because she was at my house for her whole the day before her birthday with Gage's birth. And so anyways, we were really trying to struggle, like, when are we going to call the birth photographer? So the student midwife comes over, checks me. She's like, oh, you're 8-9 centimeters, very stretchy, very thin. Baby is like right here. I was like, oh my gosh. So we call we call Brooke, and Wes starts starting to fill up the birth tub downstairs, and I'm having 12 out of 10 contractions blasting out of my body. I can't even breathe through them. I was holding onto the edge of the bed down in a deep squat, like shaking my legs back and forth, going like, during the contractions, I could not even fully exhale. Now, whereas with my first birth, I was like, doing the moan and like fully relaxing my body and like swaying off of Wes's neck and doing that whole thing. No, this one was like I was a wild animal. Like the second the contraction would stop, I would like pant and look around wildly in my room, like, okay, I can't be in that position again, because that was horrible. Where am I going to be for this next one? And then I would try to like hands and knees. I was like, no, I can't do that. And I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go do this. Like, I'm going to try to stand up. No, I can't do that. Like, I was losing it. And Wes is like going up and down the stairs trying to fill up this pool. And then he stopped by me one time. I think he felt bad because he wasn't really supporting me, but honestly, I could not be supported. He puts his hand lightly on my shoulder during a contraction, and he's like, breathe. And I was like, get away from me. I couldn't even speak it in full tone of voice because it was so intense. To even have an exhale was too intense. It would put too much pressure. So literally 5 minutes later, he walks by me, and I'm like, I'm pushing. I couldn't even say it again in a normal voice. And he's like, what did you say? And I'm like, I'm pushing, like my body is pushing this baby out, you know? So he like kind of he says to the midwife, like, she says she's pushing. So she comes up to me. This is again, the student. And she's like, so you're feeling a little bit of pressure, you know, like classic midwife way. And I'm like, no, I'm not feeling pressure. This baby is coming right now. She's like, okay, well, we need to go downstairs. Where do you want to have the baby? I was like, I want to get in the tub right now. And they were like, yeah, there's about 2.5 inches of water in the tub. So I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. So I walked down the stairs. Again, they're just happening so frequently that my staircase, when I say that, is like 5 steps. It wasn't a full staircase. So I walk down the staircase, I walk across the room, and I put 1 foot up on our futon bed thing. And now, okay, it's December 8th now, early in the morning. It's like 2 in the morning on December 8th. It's 3. Or maybe 2. I don't know. Actually, I forget what time she was born. And we have our Christmas tree up. We got it up early because we knew we were going to have this baby. And so we were like, we can't do it after the baby's born. So there's this day bed sitting on the floor as futon, and I take a step on it and my water breaks. And it wasn't a huge gush, but it was like that anterior portion before their head. It breaks. And with that comes like a huge contraction, and she is like right there. And I'm like, oh, you know, and they can hear me, and I'm pushing. And she's like, hold on. This was silly. Like, this is like one of those just silly moves, but whatever. I forgive her. I don't have any hard feelings about it, but it was just stupid. She was like, I want to make sure that you're complete before you start pushing this baby out. It's like, well, duh, obviously I'm complete if the baby's like, yeah. But whatever. Anyway, so I just quickly lay down because I'm like, fine, check me. And then I got to get up and like do something else, like get somewhere else. So I lay down, and the way that I lay down, I'm tall, is my head is underneath the Christmas tree. Like, the branches of the tree are touching my forehead. And she barely puts fingers inside of me to check me, and she's like, oh, the baby's, like, right here. I mean, she was coming out. So I was like, can I get up and move? They were like, yeah, sure, try. So I, like, try to scooch my butt, and boom, I have another contraction. Here in comes now the actual midwife. She's like putting gloves on as she's walking in the door, and it comes over, and I'm laying on my side, which I love that position for giving birth because you're not on your back, but you're also not using too much gravity. So if the baby's coming out really fast, it's helpful to crown slow, and to not contribute to unnecessary labial swelling, like with the birthing stool. So anyways, I'm on my side, and I have a pillow like crushed up against my face because I'm just panting. I'm like, again, and a full exhale, I can't do it because it's too much pressure. Like, she's flying out of me, and I am like trying to hold back if anything, because I didn't want to tear. So I'm like, and they're like, breathe. They're like, just take a deeper breath. I was like, I can't. Oh my God. So she like oozes out her head, and she had a nuchal hand. Both of my kids actually had a nuchal hand, which means that their hand was up on their face. So then the midwife was like, okay, stop for just a second, which I could because her head was born. So then there wasn't so much pressure there for a second. So she wanted to gently guide her hand out so that she didn't pop her elbow. Because sometimes when they'll pop their elbow up through your perineum, that can tear you really badly. And I was like, yes, please, like, please guide her hand out so she doesn't do that. Cause I don't want to, you know, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what Gage did too. I don't know. I don't, you know, he just came out in one push. That's probably why I tore really badly with him. But anyway, so she guides her hand out, and then another big contraction comes out, and Savi, so this is Savi's birth. She comes out to like her belly button area, and I'm reaching down and I'm like holding her. And then she just stopped. She didn't come out anymore. Yeah. And I was like, is she stuck? And they were like, no, just hold on. Don't pull. Just wait for your body to kind of push her again. It was weird. It was like, she didn't slip out in one contraction, like the rest of her body where they normally do. And so, it was only like that for, I don't know, 10 seconds or something. And then I kind of like grunted, and then the rest of her body came out, and she was 9 pounds, 3 ounces as well. Oh, no tearing. So different. 9 minutes of pushing. I read back on the chart. 9 minutes from when I said I was pushing to when she was born. And like such a different experience. She was in the right position the entire time. She didn't even have crowning, like her like molding on the top of her head. It was it came out like perfectly round because it was all so fast.
Oh my gosh.
And she was just like such a cute little chunk. And then another cool little tidbit of this story is that we were really quiet because, again, like, I mean, most of it took place downstairs, and I was not moaning. I was barely even breathing. I was completely silent during the entire labor. And the midwives were very quiet as well. And Gage slept in his room upstairs with a loud noise machine. So he also never woke up in the middle of the night at this point. And he comes, literally the baby's been born for 2 or 3 minutes. Here he comes standing at the top of the stairs. That night too, he went to bed in Christmas PJs, which was so cute. And they kind of scooched me down. So now that the branches of the Christmas tree aren't like actually touching my face, and he comes down and he's sucking his thumb and he has this little dog that he's obsessed with. And we're like, oh my gosh, Gage, because we did initially kind of want him to be there for the birth, but it all was happening too quick. We were like, we can't go and wake him up right now. We're just not going to deal with it. But he woke up, and the midwife said, she's like, this is actually really common. Siblings will sometimes sense the energetic shift in the household, and it'll wake them up, and they'll come and meet their new sibling. Isn't that so sweet? Oh my God, that's
so sweet.
I would have never believed that had it not been in our actual experience, because he, again, it was just so weird. All of the things, there wasn't noise that would have made him wake up. The baby's cry was very quiet. It was on the whole opposite wing of a very, very large house. So anyway, it was just perfect. And then her placenta came out, but the membranes were stuck. So the amniotic sac, just that those thin little membranes had some sort of an attachment point inside still that had not begun to like release. So here's this placenta sitting in like the bowl. And then you can see the like empty sac, you know, bloody kind of sac, whatever, up, and it's still attached up inside me for 30 minutes. It was so annoying. I mean, this doesn't sound that long, but it would not come out. Like, I tried to squat and push, which, like, what are you put? You're pushing out this thin little bag, and you just push out a baby. Like, yeah, have fun with that.
Yeah.
So, and they were kind of doing a little bit of a light fundal massage. It was not anything deep or crazy. They kind of tried to like tug it a little bit, and they were just like, I don't know. You know, they were patient. It was fine, but it did take a while, and I was just annoyed by it because I was really bound to where I was. Like, I couldn't get up and get into a more comfortable position yet. And so I was nursing her, and then Wes was doing some skin to skin, and Gage was meeting her. Oh, yeah. And so right after she was born, in comes the photographer, in comes Brooke.
Aww.
So she got a lot of after, you know, birth stuff and Gage meeting the baby, which was really sweet, but not the actual birth, which is fine. But it was like such a whirlwind. I was shocked. And here's the thing. I had learned even more about birth in between those two births. And had I been planning on going to a hospital, she would have been born in the car. I had no clue, like no perception how fast everything was going to take off. It was fetal ejection reflex as well, which is this sensation that the baby is being expelled out of your body very quickly. And it was a precipitous birth, which means that it was just a very, very quick, everything happened so fast once it did. It was like no stopping it. And I mean, when I look back, yeah, my contractions were progressively getting closer and closer together, but so slowly and not, you know, they only ever reached 10 minutes. They went from 10 minutes to 1 minute.
Do you think, in hindsight, I know second births often can be quick like that. Do you think doing like the homeopathics or anything like that made it go faster?
Yes, I do. I think that something happened in that appointment. He did some woo-woo magic over me. He adjusted my hips. He gave me MagFos and maybe one other homeopathic. He like muscle tested me for a few things and did some kind of like energy thing. You know, he's kind of like that. He's this sort of like woo-woo guy. And then Amber from school was working for him at that time. And she came in and gave me this B vitamin shot, which I do think really gave me some kind of like energy boost or something. Because over the course of that 25, half an hour minute or 30 minute appointment, like it shifted big time in terms of the intensity and the way that I was not able to just continue through them anymore. I did have to focus, but again, they stayed every 10, 15 minutes until like midnight. And then they picked up super quick. So I was so pleased after that birth. I didn't feel like I just gave birth. Once my placenta finally did detach, I sat up on the couch and I looked at Wes and I was like, oh, like, you know, holding this new baby. I'm like, what just happened? That was so fun and quick. Yes, it was fun and quick. I didn't feel sore. I wasn't swollen. My vagina looked exactly like it had 5 hours prior. Like I didn't feel the way that I got hit by a Mack truck like I did with my first birth. And it was so nice. And she was the exact same weight and size too. So I say this all because first births are really tough because you're paving the path. And if your baby's big or if they're in the wrong position, you know, all these things are going to make it harder and more complicated and longer. And it's a marathon. Like it's a couple marathons. You're just really going through it. And I, now, you know, having had the first long labor and then the really fast second labor, I was like, I don't know which one I would have chosen. I think I would have chosen the faster one because it is over quicker and you do feel really great afterwards. But when you're in that moment, I mean, those were the most intense contractions I'd ever had ever between all three births. Now, when I still think about it, her contractions were not even like, I can't even verbalize what they felt like.
Yeah.
I felt like all of my cells, the image that I got one time I was standing next to the dresser, I felt like all of my cells were dissociating from each other, like in a quantum mechanics way. And I was not a solid being anymore. They were all like vibrating apart from each other and moving apart from each other, like in space. And then when it was done, they would like clamp back down to me. And I'd come into this room and be like, holy crap, what am I doing? Okay. And then it would start again. And it was like, oh, like just such intense pain. It was no back labor, none, not a single second of back labor, all front, all belly, abdomen, low, like exactly how, you know, you think that a contraction is going to feel like. And, but man, it was just because I partially didn't have the hormones of labor going yet. And because it was like a very fast transition because my cervix had already been 10 at, you know, at some point before, it just knew exactly what was going on. Man, it was just really, really intense. So what I manifested for my next birth when I got pregnant with Sloan was I want to have a Goldilocks. I want something in between those two. Mm-hmm. I was like, and I always was set on 12 hours, and that's exactly how many hours her birth was. I was like,
wow, you're a powerful manifester.
I know, I'm hoping. For this next one, I'm like, I would love another 12-hour birth. Who knows? But they say about third births that third births are wild cards, and they're like, who knows? Like what, it could be a wild card. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like, and I talked to a million midwives and they say, well, sometimes it means that the baby comes at a really different time. Like if you had been, you know, making due date babies, like I had, maybe the baby will become 2 weeks later or earlier, something like that. Or maybe they'll be breech. Or I'm like, oh man. Okay. Well, I'm ready for whatever. And we had moved to Idaho at this point, and I was just really, focusing on like, this was our last baby at that time. And I was like, I want to be there for the birth. I want to mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually be so present for this because this is my last experience. And I do really love birth. And I wanted, because I felt like during my first two births, there was an element of dissociation in both of them. One from the long exhausting fatigue and one from the intensity. So I was like, my goals are to be fully present. I had three goals. One that I couldn't control, which is that I hoped that it was like 12 hours long. Two, that I was fully present and I never left fully. I wanted to be there for it. And you do leave in a way, in terms of that spiritual sort of going up to the cosmos, gathering your baby and bringing them back. And that's going to be fine. But I didn't want to, have any kind of dissociation. It's not like you can control that sometimes, but that was my goal. And then my third goal, which I really focused on throughout the actual labor, was relaxing my entire body through every contraction. Because I had seen it. I had been a doula several times and I was like, wow, that looks like a really perfect type of challenge to take during every contraction, because you can, each one, you can be like, hey, relax my shoulder, my face, breathe, use your oming and really just try to let your uterus be the thing that's tight and nothing else on your body. And so that was my goal. And it was so helpful for me to have a goal like that. That was really the only thing that I had. I had no other expectations for the birth. It was like, this could be long, short. I don't know what's going to happen, but I just want to feel like I am trying my best to be a vessel for the contractions to just happen. You know what I'm saying? So so that's what happened. So let me dive into that one.
So for my third, I am going to talk about for my fourth, but for my third, it was a much closer gap between my two daughters. And so it was a 22-month gap. And also I was giving birth in the middle of COVID. It was October 2020 when she was due. It didn't really affect things very much for me, but there was a huge home birth push during COVID because of the way the hospital systems were handling birth. And I understand that my midwife definitely was busier than beforehand. It wasn't worrisome or anything to me because I'd already had children, but I feel like if I was a first-time mom and the midwives were so busy, it would have been a little bit nerve-wracking because maybe they couldn't come or there was a lot of backup stuff going on. But anyways, so what I had been planning and trying to manifest my entire pregnancy, and every time I would go on a walk, I would think about this, and the whole entire time I would think about it. Also, I had a bit of a weird intuitive hit about the water and that she was actually going to be born in the water. We didn't know the sex of the baby, although I felt very strongly that she was a girl the whole time because the pregnancy was exactly the same as with my other daughter and not like my son. So I was nauseous. I had normal energy. I never got a linea nigra on my belly where I had this black line when I was pregnant with my son. So weird. I'll be curious to see if I get one.
Yeah, that is weird.
This time. Yeah, I know.
It's what the body does weird things.
It does. So I had this sort of feeling in this bathtub, and actually when we were building the house and I was pregnant with her, I remember just kind of looking at it and being like, I'm going to give birth in that bathtub. And it was more than just a want. That's sometimes the difference between intuition and wants or wishes or fears, is that I didn't really care. I wasn't attached to the water. And in the past I used water for laboring and comfort, but when I was in the water with my son, I actually didn't get a chance to get in the water with my second birth, like you've just heard. But with my son, it was amazing being in the water, but I couldn't feel pushing. So I was not at all attached to having a water birth, but I just felt like I knew it was going to happen. So looking at this tub as they were building it, I just was like, yeah, that's just kind of what's going to happen. It was like I was telling the future or something. Also, with my hopes and plans, this was not an intuitive hit. This was hopes and plans that it would be about 12 hours and I would have enough time to get into the birth and get into it. And that it would be kind of a slow progression so that I could learn the coping skills and because that was the hardest thing about my second birth, was that that active labor hit out of nowhere. And I really was not in a groove, and I never found a groove. I never found one. I was freaking out every contraction until she was born. Thankfully it wasn't very long, but still. But I didn't want to have the long, arduous birth like my first. And they always say with third births, I just, said that it's a wild card. And well, what does that mean? What's going to happen? So her due date was actually on my birthday, October 15th. And I woke up the day of my birthday, and maybe around 10 a.m., I lost my mucus plug. And that's exactly what happened with my second birth, too. And I hadn't been having any perceivable contractions, but I woke up and at some point in the mid-morning, my mucus plug came out and I was like, oh, I was yes. It was the day of her due date. I tend to make due date babies too. So I was really, really excited. No contractions, nothing happened. Kind of went about the day. We didn't have anything planned special for my birthday. Wes and I had gone out on a date that night prior. I forget what day of the week it was. Maybe it was a weekend. But anyways, then I decided to go on a walk around 2:30. And during my walk, I started contractions. And that was really common, though. I would kind of feel the rhythmic Braxton Hicks, where maybe they would get a little crampy on my walks in those final weeks, but they would always stop. This time, mm-hmm. though, they were like, oh, I had one. And then it was like 20 minutes later, oh, I had one again. And I probably walked for like 45 minutes, so I had like three. But they were different feeling than a Braxton Hicks. Just a little bit more, not even painful, but just, you know, that difference. It's like, that's mm-hmm. a contraction. That's not just a Braxton Hicks. Because there was more sensation with it. I guess I would identify it more with pain, where a Braxton Hicks is simply tightening. Mm-hmm. Very, very tight sometimes. And that can be kind of uncomfortable, but it's not like a cramp deep down and low in your pelvis. And this was. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, interesting. I wonder if this will stop. So I get home from the walk and they never stopped. And I was like, yes. Yes. And assuming, you know, or not assuming, but with the information of my mucus plug lost, I was like, I think, you know, it sometimes means labor's imminent, but sometimes it also doesn't. And just so that people know in the future here that your mucus plug can reform. So sometimes people will lose it in like 38 weeks or whatever. Still don't give birth to their babies till 41 weeks because it will reform. For me, though, in my pattern, and because I was on my due date, I was like, this is probably the real deal. But again, who knows? So anyways, from 3:00, my brother was in town, actually, which was really cool. And he has two dogs, and they're a special type of breed. And he's part of the breeding program because it's like a really, really small, new and up and coming breed. And so his
new
dog
and
was
up and coming.
And up and coming. The Northwest Farm Terrier, if anyone wants to know. And his dog was super pregnant, and she was due like in 2 weeks. And so he took this picture of us laying there on the ground with like our huge dogs. And it was going to be her third labor, too. Her third birth. And it was my third birth. I know, it was kind of funny. And he wanted to stick around for the birth, which I was totally fine with. He's very like biologist type, and it did not bother me. We have like a cool relationship in that way. But I was like, gosh, I don't want to tell you that I'm going to give birth tonight. And he really needed to get back to his farm. He has pigs. So he decided to go home, but it was kind of cool. I was like, maybe my brother will be here for the birth. And you know, he ended up going, and I totally understand why. But then it was a little bit like, oh man, cause she was born at 3 a.m. So but we hung out all afternoon and evening. We had dinner together, and the contractions were starting to become more intense, not closer together yet, but more intense. Then they started to become more close together. They were like 15 minutes and then 10 minutes. And then they kind of stayed at that 10 minute mark until maybe like 10 p.m. We got everybody down for bed, you know, normal time. And then I was like, Wes, go sleep. I really wanted, I craved the entire pregnancy. I craved laboring, like intense contractions alone, which was so weird. I know. Why?
So strange. I don't know. I would not have wanted to be alone.
I know. And I was like, I want to just be with myself. I think because I was, also, you know, this was the theoretical last baby, but at that moment in time, I was like, this is definitely my last labor. And I really, really wanted to be so present for the birth. I wanted to experience it and be in it for every last contraction, because I just love it so, so much. And it was my last time, you know, at least I thought. So, I wanted to do a lot and just be alone until I felt like I really needed that support. So all the while I'm like letting the midwife know, okay, they're getting more intense, but like, I don't think you need to come yet. And she's like, okay, well, but remember your second birth. And I'm like, that's a good point. Okay. But there hadn't been that like changeover yet into true active labor. It was still on the cusp of early labor, which, as I was mentioning beforehand, I think is actually really uncomfortable. And there's some kind of like breakthrough that happens between early and active that you feel like, for me, I mean, I guess I can just speak for myself, but like more agitated. I was irritated. I always get this deep wave of fatigue. I mean, it's always like 11:30, 12 at night too. But I was like, oh my God, I'm like so tired. I can't do this. Like, I have no energy for this. Like, no, I don't want to do this. And it's like getting hard enough where, you know, I couldn't lay down. The contractions were definitely intense when they'd come, and I'd be breathing through them and things. But I don't know, it was just kind of odd. I was on the ball, I was in the dark in my room, I was playing some music, I had the salt lamp on, and then I was like kind of just going through it, and then something happened. I don't know what, but it just probably the dilation got to that point where it's like, okay, now we're in active labor. So I took like two contractions that were definitely more intense and interesting and different, and then I was like, oh no, okay, I remember this is mm-hmm. how it was with my second birth, similar, although it wasn't quite as bad. So I went and I woke up Wes and I was like, all right, sorry. You know, he wasn't asleep for very long. And he came in, we called the midwife, we kind of let her know this is happening now, you need to head over. And the active labor was like still a nice steady incline. It wasn't shoot off to the moon like my second birth. And so I was like moaning and oming and groaning. And we live on this property with all these family members, and my sister-in-law's sister has a history of photography, and she was really interested in being there for us to film. And, and I also had this local girl who's a birth photographer coming to do her first home birth. And so I had two birth photographers there, which was cool. And, because I got video and film.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'm glad that that worked out. And then the midwife came with her daughter, who's kind of like an assistant sometimes with her births, just to help her get all set up. And it was probably like a 2 hour active labor, 3 hour, maybe. She was born at 3:30 or something like that in the morning. And I think, yeah, right around midnight, it transferred into that kind of more intense. So I labored up in our room still. I was like standing up, doing different stuff. And then, you know, I was kind of waiting and seeing if I could get in the tub. And so then my midwife did want to check me, which I was fine with. I think that, you know, there's pros and cons of getting checked, but I don't have a problem with getting checked personally. And my water hadn't broken. There was no reason not to. And I was like, sure, I want to. And so she did. And she's like, yeah, you're 8 centimeters and stretchy, which is exactly where I was with my second birth when the midwife had checked me. And then my daughter was born like 20 minutes after that check. But Sloan, this third one, was not born that. She was probably born an hour and a half after that check. So I got in the tub, and again, my whole goal this entire time was like, I want to be in it and present, and I want to consciously relax my entire body in during every contraction. Like, I want to have that mind over matter and kind of master that. And so each contraction, that was really my goal and focus point, and it was so helpful. I'm going to do that again for sure this time. It was so helpful to me to have like one main thing to focus on. So I was specifically really focusing on like long, slow exhales, which I always suggest, but also like my face and my shoulders to be completely relaxed. Maybe my like hands or my feet or something. I'm not really exactly sure, but I feel like there's a lot of tension that we hold in our neck and head and face. That was my goal, to really just melt it all away every single time. And then in the water, like, it does really, really change your experience of the contraction pain. But I would say that at no point during this labor did my pain level ever reach anything to the magnitude of my first two births. And that might have been because she was 2 pounds less. She came out at 7.5 pounds, and my first two were 9 pounds, 3 ounces. And so maybe that's why. Maybe it's because, you know, maybe because she was a third. I don't really know. But, or maybe partially the weight plus partially the intense level of relaxation. And the way that I was able to get into the labor, like, it was exactly what I wanted. I wanted a 12-hour labor. It was 12 hours exactly on the dot, or maybe 11 and a half, but I mean, it was right there. And it was the slow, long progression. I ended up birthing her in the water just like I thought. It was like the perfect Goldilocks birth in between the two of them. And I loved it. I loved every single second of it. So we had also planned for Gage, my son, to be there, if it made sense. And Savi was just too young. She wasn't even 2 years old yet. And we were like, I think that she's going to freak out seeing me in pain.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to wake her up. Also, waking her up in the middle of the night at that time in her life was like, you were dealing with a monster. So we were not going to try to open that can of worms. So I started pushing in the water. I could feel that sensation. So I was like, Wes, go get Gage. Go get Gage. So he ran off and grabbed Gage. It was only gone for like, you know, 30 seconds. Comes and brings a very sleepy boy into the bathroom. He's kind of like, what's going on? But he knew. He was 4 years, 9 months when she was born.
Oh, wow. And yeah. So he's very aware.
Yeah, he was totally aware. Although, like, when I look back on it, he looks so little and young to me. But at the time, he felt really old. You know how it is. It's so funny. So anyway, he's standing at the edge of the tub, and I was just, my body was pushing. And I did have to work with the pushing this time, whereas with my second birth, you know, she was flying right out of me. It was totally fetal ejection reflex. I felt I had no control over it. She was coming too fast, if anything. Sloan, I was like working with the pushes and kind of like, I could feel that my efforts were doing something, but I needed to actually work with them. It wasn't going to be just all my uterus. And not that that was bad in any way. I just remembered that kind of difference. So she's like, coming. Baby's head is born. Again, we don't know if it's a boy or girl. And she opened her eyes like right away, which I didn't know at the moment, but in the video you can see her head, and as her body is turning, as she's doing those cardinal movements, her eyes are like big and blinking, and I was reached down and I could feel in the video, I'm like, hi baby. I was like, I can feel it moving, because you know, I didn't know how to refer to it. But I could feel her little face scrunching and unscrunching, and eyelids opening and closing and stuff. I was like, ah, I'm so excited. And so then one more big push, her whole body came out. And you can see also, excuse me, I keep burping, in the video that her water broke as her head was being born. So my water hadn't broken at all up until that point. Like, her head is coming out, and then there's this gush of, like, cloudy vernix in the water. No blood, none at all. And I've always had seen birth videos of, like, completely clear water in tubs and been like, oh, what in the world? Like, how does that happen? And that's what happened.
Do you think it's just the nature of water?
No, because, I mean, a lot of the time the birth pool fills with blood, you know, and it looks way scarier because a little blood in water makes it look like it's all blood, but it's not.
Yeah, there's no sharks. Good thing.
Yeah, exactly. But I was always just like, how is that possible? But yeah, I don't know. I had very little bleeding with her entire postpartum and everything. I don't know really what to make of that or think of that, but, and I didn't tear, so there was no vaginal bleeding either, but I didn't tear with Savi. I don't think there was a ton of bleeding with hers. With Gage, like I told you, after his placenta came out, there was like a big gush of blood and everybody was kind of like, but it stopped immediately. Anyways, okay, so her head's born, I pull her up. Her cord was kind of laying over her shoulders like a necklace. It wasn't around her neck, but I remember the midwives, it was like a slow motion movement where I'm like lifting her between my legs and like up towards me. And the midwife is like, the cord, like get the cord. And I felt like she said it like 8 times in the span of, you know, half a second, which isn't even possible. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, I know I'm going, I just couldn't move fast enough. So I just lifted it up over her head. It was no big deal. It wasn't a short cord. It wasn't around her neck tight or anything like that. But they don't know what's exactly happening, and they just didn't want me to like pull on it or pull on the cord or something, because that can be bad. So I lift her up. She starts screaming immediately. As soon as her head's out of the water, she starts screaming. I'm holding her, and I remembered she looked so different from my other two babies. So different and so much smaller. I knew right away that this baby is little. And I was like, are you okay? I mean, you know, they just, when you're used to like a big chunky baby, she kind of didn't look well. Like, she didn't look like she was okay. She just looked so small. And then I look at it in between her legs, and it's kind of confusing sometimes because labia can be swollen and testicles can be swollen. And so I was like, it's a girl. And it was so exciting. And I knew, you know, I wasn't all that surprised, honestly, because I felt like the whole pregnancy I had really identified that she was a girl. But a funny little side note is that the anatomy scan ultrasound, there's a woman here in the Treasure Valley who will come to your house and do ultrasounds, and I really love that. And the midwife also comes to your house for every single appointment, and so you never have to leave ever, really. And so I had her come, and I really wanted her to get through the anatomy scan like as fast as possible, just like look at a few markers, not even really do the whole thing, and certainly do not accidentally tell me or show me the sex of the baby, because this is my last one and I did not want to know. We wanted to do the surprise thing, which Wes hated, but I loved it. And so she actually marked down that Sloan was a boy in the chart. Yeah, she thought that he was a boy, probably because it was cord was, you know, up in between her legs, looked like a penis or something. And so my sweet midwife, though, I love this about her, thought that I saw wrong after Sloan was born and she was in the tub. My midwife just assumed that I saw inappropriately, and she wasn't going to burst my bubble. She wasn't going to tell me. She was just like, she's like, I remember thinking, well, you'll figure it out one day. And I just think that I love that. I love that she respected my moment so much. So it wasn't until the newborn exam, like an hour after the baby was born, that she realized that it was a girl and that the ultrasound had been wrong. And so this whole time I'm referring, I'm like, you have a sister. I'm like talking about a baby girl. And my midwife was just like, okay, yeah, like we're going to do it. Cause she just hadn't seen her private parts yet. You know, I was under the water and stuff. So anyway, so that was her birth, and then her placenta. Oh my gosh. I mean, everything was fine, but that feeling, we were actually, all the kids wanted to watch their birth videos this morning after breakfast. So we were just sitting there watching them, and in one of the videos after Sloane's birth, I'm like, my face is, and I remembered, I connected to that feeling. Mm-hmm. The feeling of her placenta, it had detached from the wall of my uterus, and I could feel it just sitting in there, heavy.
Oh.
And my body was trying to have these afterbirth contractions, but they were kind of weak, you know, and like, just not really doing all that much. And I'm in the tub, and it was one of the most annoying and irritating is the only way I can explain it. Because it wasn't pain. It was sort of like when you're on that first day of your period, and it feels so heavy. Mm-hmm. And there, it's like your uterus is so heavy, and it's just, it's a little bit crampy continuously. Like, it never lets up. But times that by like 15, you know what I mean? And so I was trying to push to get it out because I was like, I need to get this out. And when it finally came out, probably half an hour, maybe 45 minutes later, it took a little while, but it wasn't concerning. And again, no bleeding or anything. It was the biggest relief of my life. Like, that feeling of getting that placenta out, immediately I felt so much better. Maybe I should have said, yeah, that would have been interesting. That,
yeah,
it was so a sepia feeling, and then better discharges too, like better,
yeah,
with, mm-hmm, afterwards. So anyways,
that's homeopathy for anyone who's listening.
Homeopathic sepia, SEPIA, is like a woman's remedy that is really great for that prolapsy feeling or the heaviness in your uterus during menstruation, and also is your symptoms are relieved or better with discharges. That could be like after you start your period, you feel a lot better, or after you vomit, you feel a lot better, or after your placenta comes out, you feel a lot better. And anyway, so that was pretty much her birth. It was great. And Gage was just kind of like staring at us, sucking his thumb, holding his little dog, and didn't say that much. And then so the next day I was like, what do you think? Like, what did you feel or think about it? And he's like, good, good. You look like you're exploding.
Oh my God.
Which I was like, okay, I felt like I was actually very quiet and under control, but you know, my face, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, so that was her birth, and we're planning another home birth for number 4 with the same midwife. This time though, I really want to, I mean, my bathroom's not small, but the way that the tub is in the corner, well, I really want all the kids to be there. Like, big grand, mm-hmm, finale thing. You know, Wes wants to have like a potluck barbecue. That's not happening, but he does want to have that. And bless my sweet midwife, actually, again, because he said that the whole time during Sloane's pregnancy too, that at the birth, we're going to have this like big party. Mm-hmm. And it was always a joke, but she didn't quite like know if it was a joke or not. And so towards the very end of the pregnancy, one time I remember she like kind of sat us down and brought it up. She was like, okay, so tell me about your plans for the potluck. How is this going to work logistically? And who's going to be there? And who's going to be managing the people? I think she was a little concerned, like, you can't be real about this, right? But she was, yeah, so sweet and respectful. Like, if that's what we wanted, that's what she was going to be, right, down for. But I was like, no. This is a joke. Anyways, so I want to get a tub, like a birth pool tub, the big blue blow up, whatever, and put it in our living room, kind of in front of her fireplace, so that there's more space and room for all the people. Because Brooke, our friend photographer in San Diego, is like super gung-ho about coming up here, flying up here, and just being here, which logistically is really tricky when you're from another state, but bless, mm-hmm, her heart, we're gonna figure it out. So she's gonna be there, Wes, of course, the midwife, all the kids, potentially a student midwife, and yeah, I don't know. I'm just envisioning like us needing more space and being in that, mm-hmm, living room area. So some of the things that I'm doing to prepare for birth is like what I end up doing, I'll probably start doing this soon, is taking intentional walks multiple times a week, where I'm listening to birth podcasts and walking by myself. I might take the dog, but I'm not like trying to entertain walking with kids, because I want to walk quickly and I want to swing my arms. I don't want to be pushing a stroller or doing anything. And then I just listen to positive birth stories. They're not all positive, actually. I don't get tripped up about hearing the negative birth stories personally, because I always learn something from them. You know, you kind of, mm-hmm, learn like, where was the turning point in this birth? Like, what was it that happened for me personally? But some people are like, absolutely not. They don't want to hear a single bad thing. I've heard hundreds of bad birth stories already in my life. But I like to kind of get into that zone again, like remembering, you know, I don't take a birth class again or anything like that, but I might listen to the hypnobirthing affirmations, mm-hmm, and kind of remember some of the breathing stuff. I do 40 squats when I brush my teeth every night. And I think that that's really helpful for birth as well. Walking and squats in terms of physical health, that's all I do. I really focus on nutrition, especially this time. I'm really, really focusing on nutrition. I'm trying to gain like 65 pounds, but that's because I lose weight really quickly with breastfeeding, mm-hmm. and I make a ton of milk and I usually have a big baby. I mean, we'll see if this one's going to be little or big. I kind of want a big chunky. I want like a 9.5 pound baby. I want to gain a bunch of weight. I want to mm-hmm. have a lot of stores so that I don't become too skinny postpartum. Mm-hmm. Because then that just doesn't feel good. I feel like crap. And mm-hmm. I think my mental health really suffers more. And then also it gets to the point where like, I try to eat more food and I just make more milk. And then it's, yeah. So it's really tricky for me. It's kind of an odd metabolism. It's not for, that's not the way that it is for everybody, but for me it is. So, I'm focusing on eating well and preparing the kids. So we're watching lots of birth videos. Who knows how it'll end up going though? Like maybe it'll be too quick and they can't be there, or maybe it'll be in the middle of the night and we're just kind of like, I don't know. I don't really want to. I'm kind of envisioning, I'm hoping that it's like early morning, like 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
or in the middle of the day or something like that. But I doubt it will be in the middle of the day. Probably it'll be like 3 or 5 a.m. And I say that because both my last two were born at right around 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, that's kind of my plan, my vision. I won't do much else other than that. But if at a fourth birth, you know, you don't necessarily need to. But I do think that sometimes when people have a bigger gap, this will be a 3-year gap, not that big of a deal. I'm also in the birth world steeped heavily. But that is one of the things that I want to do in the future is make some resources for people, like a mini birth course refresher that's like an hour long mm-hmm. little webinar or something like that for people who've given birth before. They remember a lot of stuff, but they're kind of like, wait.
Yeah.
Wait, what do I do again?
Or I would love to take that course.
Yeah. Or like some affirmations, you know now, like, you know what a contraction feels like, you know what it's going to be like. And so how are we going to kind of manage some different things that may happen or whatever. So anyways, those are my stories. And thank you for listening. I love birth so much. I'm so excited.
Oh my God. These are amazing. Your birth stories are so inspiring. And for anyone who likes positive birth stories, yours are wonderful ones to listen to and learn from. And I'm praying that my next birth is like Sloane's birth.
It will be.
It's like beautiful in between.
Yes. It's well, wonderful. Here's the thing that's going to happen with you is your cervix knows how to get to 5. Has been to 5.
Barely.
And no, okay, stop. You got to 5. You did. And there was something weird there. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if we'll ever know. I feel like it was probably more on the baby, like AV, like an energetic thing for her. Like she... Mm-hmm. did not, there was a lot of things actually that pointed towards that, like with what Jessica felt about her head. And it was just, I don't know. I really felt like we did everything we could for your birth. And there was sort of this ominous energy around it where it was like, we needed, this baby's not coming. I don't know if that resonates with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll, for any of you who listening who don't know, we'll do an episode on my birth story too. So you can connect with us more, but we'll chat about that a lot more then. But yeah, it was interesting. It was weird. I'm curious to see what my next birth is like, because I felt like it was like preparing for a marathon and then kind of being like taken away in the,
yes,
helicopter or something and not running the marathon. And you're like, oh, but I really wanted to like climb the mountain.
But it's like, so, you ran half the marathon though. Like you got there. I mean, you ran more than half the marathon in terms of like time, but I think that it'll be like a 1.5 birth. It won't be as quick as like a second birth, but I mm-hmm. think that your body is, you're in a good position though for it. Like I think, I don't know. And the way that the timing matches up, I'd love to try to be there again. But anyway, yes, look out for that episode. And thank you guys all for listening.
Thanks
for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for other women to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.
Please remember that the ideas and views presented in this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. Now go have a wonderful day. You've got this.